Our reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And if you're looking at it in the church Bibles, it's on page 1094. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What is the best meal that you have ever had? What's the meal that you look back and you think, my goodness, that was amazing? And I wonder, was it the food or was it the people? What made it such a good meal? Was it the food or was it the people? I know that when I look back, it's rarely the food that's made the difference. Now, maybe some of you are more foodies than I am, but I would say, generally speaking, when I look back at my favorite meals, I can barely remember what I ate. What I remember is the people that I ate it with. And I know that at times we've had people around our house, and at the start of the meal, they've kind of looked at us like, I'm not really sure why you've invited us. You don't know us that well. But part of the point of it is that by the end of the meal, we did know them much, much better. And so today we're thinking about eating together. We've been doing this series of habits, and we've looked at quite a few. So let me just read you out some of the ones that we've looked at. We've looked at teaching and fellowship and sharing bread and wine. We've thought a little bit about praying. We haven't yet thought about sharing our property. They also, the apostles, they gave to the needy. They ate together in their homes, and they praised God. And perhaps a bit like me, each week when we've had one of these sort of inputs, you've kind of had a little checklist in your mind, I have anyway, where I'm thinking to myself, how are we doing as a church on each of these? How are we doing as maybe a family? And how am I doing as an individual? So each week I've been thinking, whereabouts do I think we're up to with some of these disciplines? And today we're about eating together. So I just wonder how you think we're doing. How are we doing as a church on eating together? How are we doing as individuals? And how are we doing as families? Something that we'll come back to just at the end. In case you're wondering about the picture, this is a table that's made of a door. And we're going to think a bit more about why shortly, but hopefully that'll be something that will stick in your heads as you go from this place a bit later and might remind you a bit about some of what we've thought about. When you look in the Bible, though, there is an awful lot about eating. All the way through, there's loads and loads about eating. So let me just take you through a few of the things. There is Psalm 23, a very well-known psalm. You prepare, so it's talking about God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. And I wonder when you hear that, what's the picture that you have in your head? What comes to mind at that point? I imagine when you think about your table in that psalm, you're not thinking, God's prepared a desk. I'm going to be doing some work in the presence of my enemies. I imagine you're probably not thinking a coffee table. I'm going to sit and have a cuppa in the presence of my enemies. I imagine you're probably not thinking like a bar stool. If you're anything like me, and probably from reading the Bible, you'd think to yourself, well, actually, the most likely thing is a great big table with loads of food on it. And that really is the image that keeps coming up in the Bible, that God wants us to be welcomed at his table, and it's a table that he's preparing lavishly for us. A second place where you find a lot about food, this is from Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich foods for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. And then it goes on, he will swallow up death forever, wipe away the tears, remove the people's disgrace. And all of that is also part of a meal that will happen right at the end after Jesus comes back. A meal that we've already talked about is bread and the wine. But of course, it's not really a meal, is it? If you turned up at somebody's house and you just had bread and wine, you'd feel you'd been cheated in some way. And I think when we look at Jesus, when he started this, it was in the context of a meal. He'd already had a meal with his disciples, and then he breaks bread and wine. And you might remember, he talks to his disciples and he says, "Whenever you gather together, do this in remembrance of me." And I think, therefore, it makes sense to say Jesus' expectation was that we would eat together. That maybe in like fours, fives, however many's, that we would have people round our table and that we would eat together. But I wonder why it matters. So we're going to be thinking a little bit about two reasons. Why does eating make any difference? What does eating together do? And I think there's two things. Here's the first one. First of all, I think it's a choice. Now, who in here has an office where you work alongside other people? Anyone else? Who got to choose who they sat next to? Ooh, a couple of us, but most of us didn't, did we? We just got stuck where we were. Maybe on the train in the morning, if you're going to work or somewhere else, you sit next to somebody else. Odds are someone sits next to you and you didn't really choose them. Sometimes you're the first person you did get to choose, but most of the time you don't. The same's often true in church. You sit down, someone sits next to you. You didn't necessarily choose that. Perhaps the same in your home groups, perhaps in all sorts of different spheres. But when you get someone round your house, when you invite them for a meal, you chose them, didn't you? You didn't sort of say, "This half of the church are welcome." You actually picked out a few people. You didn't go around your workplace and invite everybody. You chose particular people to invite round. And I think that's the first reason that this is so important, because eating together is a choice. And whenever we make a choice, we're saying, "This person is valuable to me. I want them round my table." Whenever I do a wedding here, the couple is kind of down the front here and I'm trying not to tower over them and look silly. And so I don't want it to be about my day, it's got to be their day, hasn't it? And so when I look at them, I think the reason this matters is that you're only marrying this person. You're not marrying a whole heap of people, you're just marrying that one. And because of it, it's a choice. And it shows how valuable that other person is. So that's our first reason that we might want to eat together. The second, though, I think, is that it says to the other person, "I already know you a bit, but I want to know you more. I've kind of reached this stage where I know you a bit, but I'd actually like to get to know you better." And it's a bit about intention. I'm going to set aside some time to get to know you. Now, Jesus ate with all sorts of people. And I imagine if I asked you, you could reel off a list of the sorts of people. So to save you a job, I've already got a few: disciples, Pharisees, rulers, tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes. And the list went on. All sorts of people. And when you look throughout the Gospels, the Pharisees seem to be the ones against fun, don't they? They find Jesus. He's at a party with some people, he's having some fun, and they go, why are you eating with these people? These aren't good people. Why are you doing that?" And in some ways, whenever I've read the Bible, I've kind of read into them, "You're like the fun sponge. You're the people who like suck the fun out of a situation. What are you doing?" But when we look at the Old Testament, there's actually good reason behind what they were saying. I'll give you some examples. Proverbs 4:14 says, "Don't walk in the ways of evil men," or it could be women. Proverbs 22:24, "Don't associate with angry people." Psalm 1, "Don't sit with scoffers." So there is that. Why are we giggling, by the way? Are some of you scoffers? Is that what I need to worry about? Oh, sorry. Right. It's wonderful when you're not in on the joke, isn't it? Oh, sorry, yes, scoffers, yes, thank you. As usual, my wife helping me catch up. Brilliant. I think what's interesting is that I bet Jesus could have recited all of those passages. I bet he knew all of those things. And yet, he doesn't seem to stick to them. And I wonder what's going on there. And perhaps we're helped by remembering that all those verses were about unthinkingly and uncritically associating with people. Because I know that certainly in my life, I've got lots of friends who think and behave and whose outlook on life doesn't match what Jesus calls me to think and behave and act. And therefore, I just need to be mindful and think, we're not coming from the same place here. I really want to be alongside you. I'd love to share a table with you. But I do need to remember who I am and who I'm therefore called to be. And I think because Jesus could remember that, that's why he can read all these proverbs about not being sort of linked and very close with people who are very sort of ungodly and not very like him, and yet can spend time with them anyway. I think Jesus had an enormous sort of inner strength. And I'd say also he didn't have the same sort of dinner etiquette that we do. You know, if you go around someone's house and they say something and you think, oh, I really don't agree with that. But most of us probably know the English sort of etiquette. If it's their house, you don't criticize them. You just like eat your dinner quickly, and in the car on the way home, you say what a terrible thing that was that they talked about. We kind of do that as English people. But Jesus didn't. Jesus was quite happy to say to people, no, that's not right, and to lead them to a better way of being. Jesus wasn't pulled out of shape by other people. And so I wonder, who are the people who get to eat at your house? Two questions. Here's the first one. Who has been round at your house for a meal since Christmas? So just have a little mull through. If you can't think that back through, maybe take a couple of months. Who's been round your house for a meal? Might be loads of people, might not be many. Then maybe have a little think in amongst that. Who are the people who were people who also are Christians, who know God? And who are the people who weren't? Who gets to kind of come around your table? And then the second question, who would you like to get round your table? Who are the people, perhaps even in this building this morning, that you think, oh, I should really invite them round? I haven't had dinner with them. Who are the people, perhaps, that God's calling you to walk alongside who are Christians or who aren't, who you could get round your table? I know that for us, there are a few things that prevent us from doing this. One is our house is sometimes messy because it's all my fault. Rachel does a great job, but our house is sometimes messy. And sometimes we think, oh, we can't have people around, it's too messy. Sometimes I think they're a really good cook, so they're not coming around my house. Unless we're like going to share food and they'll bring some stuff. Sometimes there's other reasons I think, oh, well, they wouldn't want to come around my house. Sometimes I'm waiting for an invitation from somebody else. I remember at times we've joined churches and we've been waiting for a lunch invitation. Do you know those things that other people get? And as soon as you've had three children, you stop getting them because they all went, ooh. But we sort of realize we need to start doing the inviting. Sometimes I might invite around like a couple of people I know quite well and a couple of people I don't know that well. And I think for us as a church, this is really important for us, particularly the season that we're in, because we've grown quite a lot. We've got quite a lot of new people. We've got quite a lot of people who've been here for a while. And we want to get to know each other and to be family. So could I just encourage you, maybe every few weeks, think to yourself, oh, could I have some people round? We used to do our standard tiger bread and chicken on the way home from Asda. We'd invite like an extra four people for lunch, or I would do, and then Rachel would go, we've got no food, and so we'd like via Asda on the way home. But it was a great way to get to know people. Because I think all of our tables are also doors. This one actually is a door, but I think actually all of our tables are doors. They enable us to get to know people better. They enable other people who don't know God to get to know him through us because of the intimacy that we have around a meal. And so I'm just going to leave us a couple of moments of quiet. And can I encourage us? I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to put people's faces and names in our minds. Some people who perhaps know God, some people perhaps who don't. And we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to give us some people that perhaps we could invite around to eat with and get to know better. So let's pray. So Holy Spirit, just during this moment of quiet, we pray that you would bring to mind the faces and names of people that you'd like us to have round our table. God, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know these other people that we're thinking of better than they know themselves. And perhaps there's reasons for us to have them round. God, we pray that you'd help us to make time for this. We pray that you'd help us to be brave and invite people, even people we don't know that well yet. And God, we pray that as we eat together and spend time together, that we would find that joy of being your family together in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.